Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you in church. What a wonderful morning. And our first Sunday as Capital Edge Queanbeyan is going on also, which is very exciting. And I have the privilege this morning of talking to you about or starting our new theme for the month of March, which is Lost and Found. And this morning I want to talk to you about the lost world. The lost world. And my sermon title this morning is called He Is. He Is. And I know a thing or two about losing things. I have a habit, actually. I think Hamish has shared before about my habit for losing things. It's pretty well known. I have a habit for losing things. I'm well acquainted with it. I lose everything, absolutely everything. It's gotten so bad that my husband has gone out and bought these little tiles and this app for my phone, my wallet, my bag, my keys, and they all link to each other. So I just have to press one of them and it'll find another one of them because we've been late that many times. Due to my habit of losing things. And so I'm well acquainted with losing things. And I'll often lose the obvious culprits are like my keys, my phone, my deodorant always goes missing, lip balm, all these things go missing. And I'm sure many of you can relate, but when you lose something, it's so annoying. Like, oh, am I alone? It is so annoying. It's irritating. It plays on your mind no matter what you have to do. Like, it just niggles. It's just there and it niggles. It's irritating. It makes you a bit cranky. You're usually running late to somewhere. I don't have time for this. I just need to find it. I need to get in the car. I need to get to what's important. I need to get to what I'm going to. I need to do all these things. I'm busy. This is so annoying. And we search the places it could be, the places we've been. You know, often I'll be like, oh, I'll just take the spare keys. I don't have time for this today. Or oh, I'll just buy another one at the shops. I'm sure it will turn up eventually. Oh, I can do without my phone for a few hours. Whatever it is, but it's really annoying. But there was this one time where I lost my child. Different experience. In fact, it was here at church that I lost her. She was two at the time, and her cousin Jones went missing. And they were missing for 15, 20 minutes maybe. And it was like panic, right? That feeling in your heart where your stomach drops and you're like, where are they? And at first it's just a bit of anxiety. Oh, they'll be around. I'll check all the places they usually are. But as time goes on a bit more, the panic sets in. Oh, I've checked all the places. I haven't found them. What if they've gone out the front doors? What if they get hit by a car? Oh my goodness, what if someone's come in and taken them? And all your brain starts doing all these things. And then you're like, okay, I should let my husband knows. So I go to Joel, I'm like, I can't find the kids anywhere. Can you help me? I tell my brother-in-law, me and Meg, my sister, are searching. Soon Anushka's helping us. People from the Connect team are helping us. And we're looking everywhere. We've checked every place they could be twice. We've checked places that they probably could not access, but we check there anyway, just in case. Anyway, the place that they were is we have storage behind the church underneath, and they decided that that would be a good place to hide from everybody. Usually they're locked, but they weren't that day. And we had already looked there. We had already looked there for them, and they weren't there. But the thing about our kids is that when they don't want to be found, they're actually really good at it. They're really good at being quiet when they want to be. Not very often, but when they want to be, they can be silent. And so we had already checked there and not found them, but we checked again, as you do. Maybe it was even the third time, I can't remember, but we checked them and we found them. And oh my goodness, the relief that floods over you, you know, the joy and the relief. And you go, Albert, don't you ever hide from me again. Don't leave me. You know, you're scared, Mummy. And finally we found them. Two very different experiences from when I lost Alba that day and from when I lose my things. And the reason I tell you this is because often we approach the lost people of this world, the lost, in the same that way that we do a lost item when we lose our phone, our keys. Whereas we should be approaching them with the urgency that we do when we lose a child. it's, you know, when you lose an item, there's some annoyance and irritation. It holds us up. It causes a bit of anxiety, maybe even some crankiness. We search the places we've been, places it could be. You know, you think to yourself, I don't have time for this. There are better places I could be. I'm running late. I've got too much to do. There are more important things. And sometimes we leave it behind thinking, oh, I'll just use the spare ones today. Oh, I don't need that right now. Oh, I'll just get a new one. And then when we find the item, we are relieved for a minute or two. We are thankful, but most of the time we're just thankful that it's no longer inconveniencing our lives anymore. It's no longer lost and it's no longer worrying us about what got up to it or if it's going to cause us more work. Like, I'm going to have to change my bank cards now, I'm going to have to cancel my phone, all that kind of thing. But when you have a missing child, when you have a lost child, there's this fear and this panic over them being lost. There's this fear, what might happen to them? You search with an urgency that you don't have for anything else. You won't rest until they are found and safe and sound in your arms again. You know, time stands still. You're frantically searching for them and reaching them. You look in every possible place, twice, three times, four times. You search the places they couldn't be. You get other people involved in the search too. You aren't leaving until you find them. You're not giving up and you're not getting distracted until you find them and they are safe and sound. And then when you find them, that relief and joy flood over you and you just want to hug them forever and hold on to them forever. You feel like crying. Sometimes you do cry. And you tell them, never ever hide from me again, just like I did with Alba. Never ever hide from me again. And you hold on to them because everything is right because they are found. Sometimes we approach the lost people of the world like we do our lost phone or our lost keys or another lost item, but we should be approaching them with the urgency when we have a missing child. Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." His purpose was to come and to seek and to save those who are lost. Lost here meaning to perish. Lost here meaning completely separated from God. Those dead in their sin. Imagine a world if we were all as passionate about people as Jesus was and is. What a different world we would live in. I want to read to you today from Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 10. And bear with me, Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 10. And it's a long scripture, but it really highlights the urgency and the amazing love of God. It says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Praise God that He so urgently loved us and pursued us. We sung about it this morning in Son of Suffering. He chased you down. He reached for you. Praise Him that a lot of us here in this room today have experienced His wonderful grace and mercy and kindness and accepted His salvation. But these verses do make it really clear because it says that we were dead in our sins just like the rest of the world. The world is lost. The rest of the world is lost. They are dead in their sins. Today I'm talking about the people of the world, the lost people around us, the people who don't know Jesus that are in your everyday lives. And the urgent and extravagant love, I just want you to grasp that this morning, that which Jesus loves you and pursued you is the same extravagant and urgent love that He has for the lost people in the world. And sometimes we need a fresh revelation of the depth of that love that He has for people and that we should have for people. I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to you from John 3:16, most quoted verse in the Bible. A lot of you will know it, but I'm going to read from it today to verse 18. It says, "For God so loved the world, everyone in the world, doesn't matter culture, doesn't matter nation, doesn't matter lifestyle. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, anyone, whoever, doesn't matter, again, doesn't matter culture, doesn't matter lifestyle, doesn't matter who they are, anyone believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Anyone. God so loved the world. What incredible, abounding and urgent love that God would send His Son to die and to take the punishment and price for the sin that I owed, that I owed. He paid the price. Don Carson, he's an evangelical theologist, and he talks about these verses actually, and he talks about God's love in these verses, and he says, God's love in these verses aren't just amazing because the world is so big. We read it and think, God so loved the world. The world is so big. How big and great God's love must be. And that is true. But he says it's not just amazing because the world is so big, but because the world is so bad. Because the world is so bad. Because we were so dead in our sin and yet God loved us and yet Jesus chose to die for us. What amazing, abounding love. You know, and it's just a note to us too that we are called to love not just the easy people, the difficult people, the bad, the hard people. We are called to also love the hard because Jesus did for us. You know, it says in Romans that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we wanted Him. Not when we had already repented, not when we were trying to be good. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much value does Jesus place on a person's life? So much that He would die for them. That's such incredible love. And this morning, I just really want you to get a hold of what a treasure people are to Jesus, how precious people are to Jesus. And when we understand and have that revelation of the urgent love that God pursues us, when we understand the urgency He loves us, we understand the urgency and love He has for others and the urgency and love that we should have for the lost. Now, you may say to me this morning, Grace, I've been a Christian a long time. I've heard all this before. I've heard about God's love. I've heard about loving other people. I've heard these scriptures over and over again. Can I tell you, so have I. Over and over again. But can I ask you, is it still challenging your heart to its very core? And is it changing the way you live? And is it changing your approach to people? Because can I just say that in the preparation for this message and for the months leading up, God has put this on my heart, this word. He has just been challenging me like never before on the love that I have for people. He has been challenging me on the time that, or lack thereof, that I give to people. He has been challenging me on where my priorities lie and are they the same priorities as him. God has just been doing a work in me on these scriptures, and I want that for you this morning. We may have heard them before, but can I tell you, God can still use this to change the way that you live. So please don't just switch off. And I pray that if these words wouldn't just wash over you, but that you would let them change you this morning and spur you to action. You know, this year is all about keeping it real. And can I be real with you guys this morning? Can I be really real? Because you know what? There are people out there in the world who don't know Jesus. And if they died today, if they died this very second, they would not be living forever with Jesus in heaven. They would not be living eternally. In fact, their only reality would be death and suffering for eternity. And that's the reality. And sometimes I think we approach this too casually. We've heard it before. We approach it too casually, myself included. But we need to take this seriously because Jesus took it so seriously, he died. You know, we don't have all the time in the world. Last year in particular just really challenged me about life and the gravity of it all. And we don't have all the time in the world. You know, in James it says that life is like the morning fog, here a little while and then gone. So let's live purposefully while we've got the chance, while other people have the chance to come to Jesus. And let's be urgent about the things of eternity. You know, I love, there's this passage in the Bible where it really shows God's heart for people and can teach us so much about our approach towards people. And so I want to read to you from it this morning, and it's really good. It's from Mark 6, verse 30 to 34. And I'm just going to read it and we're going to go through it. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And when you read it in Matthew, he said, and he healed all their sick. And I love this because it shows Jesus' time for people. And the first thing that I notice about it is that it moved him to action. It says that he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them and heal their sick. How often do we allow the plight of this world, the circumstances of the people around us, to not only move us but to act? I know many a times I've heard of something, seen something, know someone who's going through something, and I am moved for them. I am sad for them, but I haven't acted on that. He was moved with compassion and then he acted. Love is about doing. Love is about moving. Love is about acting. It's not enough just to love someone, just to pray for someone. We have to act with the word of God. And the other thing that I love about this scripture is that it wasn't convenient or easy for Jesus to stop for these people in this moment. They were hungry. He and his disciples were hungry. They hadn't even had a chance to eat. They were tired because of all the people coming and going. They wanted to be alone. They wanted to be alone. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy. And yet, Jesus still prioritized them. loving people isn't convenient sometimes. It isn't easy sometimes. It's hard. But Jesus prioritized people anyway. You know, it wasn't easy or convenient for Jesus to die on the cross. But we were worth it. It's not easy or convenient for us to reach the lost, but we are to do it anyway because they are worth it. His priority was people. So our sharp priority should be people. You know, our mandate as Christians comes down to two things, the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love people. The two greatest commandments. That's it. It's really that simple. And yet so often we lose sight of this. So often we get caught up in life and busyness and I've got to do this and I've got the kids and I've got to book that appointment on. I should do this. Oh, and I'm serving in Kids Way on Sunday. But the priority is to love God and to love people. And as a side note, these two greatest commandments are for all Christians. All Christians, not just those who are gifted with evangelism, not just those who are people, not just those who are extroverted and can talk. No, these two commandments are for all people, for all Christians to love people. That includes you. That includes me. People are more important than a job, than the things that we need to get done, than free time, than achievements. You know, we live in a world full of busy and rushing and everyone worrying about their own lives. You know, we go, I'm happy to love people. I'm happy to share the gospel with people, the message of Jesus, of hope, as long as it doesn't interrupt my day, as long as it fits in with my calendar, as long as it doesn't affect my family life or my downtime. As long as it doesn't make me uncomfortable, as long as people don't perceive me differently at work, as long as I don't lose any money. We might give cash to a worthy cause or tell someone at work that we went to church on the weekend or grab coffee with a friend who is struggling. But are we willing to step out and do something that makes us uncomfortable, something that's inconvenient in order to reach to someone lost today? Loving people involves opening up your life and getting down into the trenches with people, being a part of the dirty, the ugly, the unpleasant, the scary in people's lives. It involves getting to a place with people where you can tell them about Jesus and bring that hope. And it involves knowing them and them knowing you. You know, it isn't always easy to tell people on the job site that you're a Christian. It isn't always easy to sit with someone who's found out awful news. It isn't always easy to invite someone into your home or to show love to difficult people or to forgive someone who's really hurt you. None of these things are easy. Some of them are really inconvenient. And what's hard for me will be different from what's hard for you. What is uncomfortable for me will be different from what's uncomfortable for you. Me and my husband are very different people. He's a people person. He could talk to anybody for hours about anything. He can just relate to people and people relate to him. He goes to the grocery store and comes back with like five new friends. Okay, like that's just who he is. Me, I am not like that. For me, I'm an introvert. For me, talking to people or meeting new people really puts me out of my comfort zone. So for me, a challenge would be talking to a new person or introducing myself. For him, a challenge might be getting straight to the point of the gospel. Whatever it is, what can you do that's uncomfortable for you this week to reach someone? It involves sacrifice because we were worth Jesus sacrificing for us. People are worth our sacrifice. And the other thing I love about this is that Jesus had his own stuff going on. And we talked about how he was tired and he was hungry and they had had people coming and going. But they had also just found out about John the Baptist's death. And so there was grief going on and they needed this time alone. The scripture is really clear. They had found out this awful news. And yet he still allowed the condition of the lost to move him with compassion to the point of looking past his own needs and into action. You know, you may be thinking this morning, you don't know what I've got going on in my own life. You don't know what I am facing right now. I do not have the capacity to worry about anybody else or be burdened by anything else right now. And I'm so sorry. But Can I encourage you, minister in your own need. Minister in your own need, because as you share the love of Jesus and as you speak faith for someone else and you search out others, these things will begin to minister to you. They will encourage you and they will strengthen you. You know, when we minister to others in our own need, it shifts our perspective from inwards to outwards and upwards. And what you are talking to them about, what you are loving them with, God just heaps it on you as well. So can I encourage you, if you have a need, if you are going through something and don't think you have capacity, love others anyway. Take on what they're going through anyway. You know, He is the answer. He is the answer to this world problems. He was the answer to sin for you, for me, for everybody else who doesn't even know it yet. You know, you might say to me, I don't know what to say to people. I'm not equipped for this. I don't have the resources. That's okay. He does. That's okay. He does. Look at the disciples, the people he was with. They were the most ill-equipped. They weren't highly esteemed. They were just average folk like you, like me. But God used them to share the message of Jesus. God used them to heal people. God used them to reach the lost, because He needs real people to go into a real lost world and reach them for Jesus. He does. You know, my Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you and teach you the words to say when you need them. It says that the Holy Spirit will equip you for His works. You don't have to rely on you. You have Jesus, you have the answer, you have what it takes to reach the people in your world that don't know Jesus. He is the answer. He is the answer for the lost. He is the answer to your needs. He is the answer to the needs of the world. He is the answer for salvation. He is the light of the world. He is the hope of the world. He is the healer of the world. We have the answer, and it is Him. He is. Can I challenge you today? What can you do to go out of your comfort zone to love somebody who is lost, to reach somebody for Jesus? Because everyone, we all have people in our lives. Maybe for you, it's even just going out and finding a way that you can surround yourself with more people who are unsaved. Maybe most of your friends are Christian, and so your challenge this week is to go and find someone who's not, who can be a part of your world and your life. There's this unbelievable song called He Is, and it was performed at the Passion Conference a few years ago by Crowder. A great song, and we're going to listen to it because I want the words to just challenge you this morning. But I want to read some of the lyrics to you so that they really just get into your heart. It says, if you're troubled, heavy-hearted, come to Jesus and find your peace. If you're run down, empty-handed, come to Jesus and find your strength. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. He is. Mending the broken, bearing the burdens, all that you're needing, He is. If you're wandering in the darkness, come to Jesus and find your way. If you want freedom, need forgiveness, just come to Jesus and find His grace. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. He is. Mending the broken, bearing the burdens, all that you're needing, all that the world is needing, He is. Comforter, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Author and Maker of everything, Defender, Deliverer, King of Kings, He is. Helper and Healer forevermore, Savior and Shelter through every storm, My Refuge, Redeemer and Lord of Lords, He is. Child of Heaven and Son of Man, Provider, Protector, the Great I Am, Alpha, Omega, Beginning and End. He is. He is the answer, and we have Him. Let's share Him with those who also need Him. I want you to listen to this song this morning, and as we do, just let it challenge you and minister to your hearts.